Get ready to pray for us, but I want to remind you of a couple things. You were handed cards and envelopes, hopefully, when you came in. If not, during the ministry time, you can get up and go get you some. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it. I'll mark that down. Tyler wanted me to acknowledge he got his cards and envelopes as he came in. So, good job. One of the reasons why I brought that up was throughout this message, God should be messing with you. Because if God hasn't messed with you this week, then I would encourage you to cheer up. Messing time's coming. Okay? But we should be looking forward to God stirring our hearts and stirring our minds to focus on Him. Before I pray for us, as God begins to mess with us a little bit today, I'd encourage you to think about this. Whatever's weighing you down, whatever's really on your heart, for some of you, it might be something legit. And for others of you, it might be something that's really not a big deal if we all knew about it. But for you, it's weighing you down. Do you believe God's equal to the task? Do you think God has what it takes to come through? Do you think He can come through? Do you think He will come through? Are you wondering if He can show up? Is He capable of showing up? You probably have some questions today swirling on your hearts and your minds from this past week, from this past weeks, this past time period as we go into the future. You know, it's good and warm in the South in Savannah, Georgia, isn't this time of year? Amen? Okay? We praise God for air conditioning. We praise God for His presence. We praise God for His love and His mercy, don't we? Amen? Now, you want to do that tomorrow morning? You want to praise Him for the things that we just take for granted? Is He equal to what's on your heart this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that we don't serve a God that's distant. We serve the most nigh God. And what that means is You're up close and You're personal. Jesus said it over and over, the kingdom of God is near. Praise You, Father, for Your presence with us this morning. Praise You, Father, for this time together. Praise You, God, for just being You. God, I want to thank You for something that's hard to thank You for. And that is, I don't have all the answers and I don't know all the questions to ask. But God, I thank You that, Father, You love me enough that You will continue to love on me even when I'm asking stupid questions. God, even when there's times where I'm questioning You for who You really are, that God, You just lead with Your love. You're so patient. You're so kind. You're so merciful. And I thank You for that today. And God, I pray that You'd impress upon our hearts today that You are a God of love. In fact, the Bible says You are love. You are not capable of anything else but loving us. And I pray, God, we'd absorb that today. Precious, precious love. Precious, precious time with You, Father. And we put all this before You in Jesus' name. Amen. So remember, you have permission to go ahead and be writing on those cards about things. We're going to continue our series today about revival. And I don't know how much of these sermons you've been able to hear, listen to, or be a part of, but this is about our fourth Sunday, I think, about revival. Personal revival impacting our world. I love a story that Tony Evans tells. He's a pastor in Texas that I've talked about before. He tells a story about a man helping his son with a project, and the project is this. The boy brings in a magazine, picture of the world, on a magazine, and it's all, he wants to cut it up and put it back together. And the son says, Dad, can you help me with this? Tony Evans says, the dad looks at it and says, it's a picture world, and we cut it up into a lot of pieces. It's going to be kind of hard to put together. But before they cut it up, they turn it over and realize there's a picture of a man on the other side. And the dad realizes, hey, you know what? We'll just put the man back together piece by piece. And then we'll realize the world has been put back together piece by piece. Until it becomes personal, it's never going to have the impact that lasts until it's personal. And today, revival is a choice that we get to participate in, be a part of, and impact our world. And that should never get old of being told that because it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Around the world today, our brothers and sisters have been worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in many places, many facets, many ways, and we get to just join in them. The ultimate purpose to worship the one true living God. That should be awesome. You should say amen on that. Let's try it again. It's a privilege to worship the one God. Amen?
Amen.
It's a privilege tomorrow when you get to work around those coworkers that you think Satan has inhabited. it's a praise report to be around the family that you think you're the only one that gets it. That's what I'm talking about, Joyce. I like it. So today, let's look at a familiar story with the familiar scriptures. We kind of hone on this. So go ahead and go with the scripture. I'm going to set the story up for us. King Solomon has finished building the temple. This is Solomon, the son of David. And also, maybe just as importantly, because we've been using David as kind of a starting place, is Solomon is the son who lived from David and Bathsheba. If you remember, David and Bathsheba had an adulterous affair, and the first baby didn't make it. The next one is Solomon, King Solomon. David is now gone. Solomon is ruling the empire, and he wants to build a temple for his Lord, for his God. And God gives him permission. This temple was destroyed some years later, so we really don't know what it looks like. But if you ever pull this up on Google and see an artist's rendition of this, this sucker was awesome. I mean, it was huge, gold. It was awesome. A lot of work. And so Solomon comes to the completion of this temple, and he dedicates it to God. He gathers the people around him, and he dedicates it. He says, this is for the glory of God. But God, in His infinite wisdom, knows that He's dealing with humans. Maybe we need to remember that the next time that we run into somebody that, like, what is going on? What is their problem? Maybe we need to realize, you know what? They're just as much human as we are. Have a little grace, a little mercy. So we find Solomon dedicating this temple. And we pick up in 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 16. It says this. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace, huge, magnificent. I'd encourage you later to look up that artist's picture of it. And had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, hey, Solomon, this may not go as you desired, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you there's going to have to be a change in heart in the future. And God says, Solomon, I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen to show up in this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices so people can come and worship me. But Solomon, sometimes it just doesn't go well because we're dealing with people. So when I have to shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you ready? If my people who are called by my name, and if they will humble themselves, and if they will pray, and if they will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will acknowledge from heaven. I will bend down and listen, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place, that temple. And I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As we're looking at something today, revival, it's a choice. We're kind of focus a little bit in on the 2 Chronicles 7:14, because let's remember something, church. He was talking to the church. He was talking to the Israelites. He wasn't talking to the nations and all those other people around him, all those ites that we can't pronounce their name. He wasn't saying if those people will turn from their wicked ways. He's saying if you, my people, will turn from your wicked ways. If you will change your heart, seek my face, not want anything from me other than my grace and my mercy and my love, then we can have an intimate relationship. May I ask you a question? Simple, very simple question. How good do you feel after an awesome night's sleep? Don't you feel refreshed? Feel like you can accomplish something? Feel like you can get something done? I want you to understand something. Revival is a good night's rest because you can get something done for the kingdom of God. You're focused. You've got clarity. You've got ambition. Let's pause for a second. Let me ask you a simple question this morning. How much ambition do you have for the kingdom of God? How much desire do you have to turn and seek His face and wanting to come and do something in this land that begins with us? Is there a hunger for that? Is there a want for that? Is there a longing for that? Because you got to start with something. Is there a want for Him? A longing for Him? Is there a desire for Him? It really is that simple. Don't complicate this morning. So let's go ahead and let's look at point number one. You can see the scripture up there. God is ready for revival. God is not falling asleep. God is not too busy. And like I told you, He's up to the task. He is very capable of it. Do I understand all of His ways that He might do it? Absolutely not. If He told me everything, then I would just vote what I like and I don't like. I would just say, God, why'd I do it differently? So let's don't waste time going, if God would just tell me the plan He has for my life, let me tell you, if He laid it out, sent you a long email with bullet points, all you would do is you would hit reply and say, I like or I don't like. You would say, God, why? But He's ready for revival and He's ready to involve us. He is ready to involve us. He is longing. But look at that 2 Chronicles 7:14 for a moment. If my people, that's us, church, who are called by my name, that's us. We're followers of Christ. We're the disciples of the living God. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, there's something naturally humbling in true prayer because it recognizes that it's not us doing the work, but it's about Him doing the work. How many things have you laid out before Him this week that you've told Him how to solve it? You've told Him what to do. Now, I know you may have not done that literally, but how often do we pray like this and that we need to change from it? How often do we pray like this? If then. If God would, then we would. How about this, church? How about today? Let's draw a line in the sand. Let's change it. How about let's go from an if then to an if not? And here's what I mean. God, I will praise You even if I don't see any change. I will praise You if I do not see a healing. I will praise You if there's no more money in the bank account tomorrow. I will praise You if I don't even understand all Your ways. I'm in. I'm worshiping You and I'm praising You even if there's a not. Or what if He comes back and He says, God, I'm all in. Or God's saying, I'm all in with You. But You're all in with Me can't be conditional. God gives it straight to Him in that scripture. He's saying, I'm ready to act. I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to do something in your heart. Because God has a part in revival, and we have a part in revival, as number two says. It wasn't just simply enough to just give it a good effort in turning from their wicked ways. He's saying, if you will turn about face, repent, have nothing to do with those old ways, then I can come and I can do something. I can do something in a heart that's fully dedicated to Me. You know, God will take full responsibility of a heart that's completely dedicated to Him. We might not understand it. We might not even always agree with it. But God's saying, if you're fully in, I can take that and I can build off of it. God has a part in it, but we have a part in it. It's a real part. God knows that we're not perfect. God knows that we mess it up. But God is longing that we don't settle in the land of mediocrity. God is desirous that we don't just cash it in or cruise it in and say, you know, I got my salvation. I'm good. I'm good. It'd be like these people here saying, we built this awesome temple. God, why aren't You here? God's saying, I can't be there if You're going to be wicked and You're going to disgrace My name, if You're going to embarrass My name, if You're not going to worship Me in spirit and in truth. God's saying, do Your part and then I can show up and be a part. And God will work through repentance. God will work through our turning from sin and turning to Him. Now, I want to ask you a serious question to think about today. You notice I don't put the questions up there because I know you're daydreaming and all that good jive, okay? I know that because I do that, okay? What are the things that you put your time, your effort, your money into? Now, listen to the second part of the question. That you're really not committed to. What are the things in your life that you say you're invested in, but the evidence is sketchy because of your attitude, because of your outlook, because of your disposition? You know, it's pretty easy for me by this time in my life. I don't have to spend a lot of time around a married couple to know if they're really committed to the marriage. It didn't take that long, okay? Because I can tell when people are just kind of going through the motions. God will work through repentance. It's not about going through the motions. God values repentance. just like He values you. He values this because His only desire is to be close to you and glorify His name, right? You know that. Close to Him, glorifying His name. I read a story this week about an airline CEO, and one of the, I'm not going to bother with the name of the airlines, you'll probably figure it out, but one of their values that they have as part of their company is humor. I mean, it's like part of their company vision is humor. And on one of their flights, the stewardess during the safety check, all of you have probably flown, that little boring safety check that none of us pay attention to, so we're in trouble if it really happens. Like, where is that inner tube they were talking about? Okay. She was being humorous. Well, a longtime passenger didn't find it funny. So he wrote a letter to the CEO. And this CEO, being different, actually read a letter by just a common passenger. You know what the CEO's reply back to the passenger was? It was this simple. We'll miss you. Maybe you should think about the sin in our lives and say those words to sin instead of what that does to us when we don't take it seriously and what it does to our relationship with God. We'll miss you, sin, or we'll miss you, God. It's a choice. Revival, it's a choice. Some days you just got to get up and fight for it. Some days you got to say, I'm committed to this, even if I don't see fruit from it. My faith, turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear. I will hear. I will acknowledge something. I can come close. But then look at that last question for a moment. What must change in your life to experience revival? There's a disease, and I'm going to read it so I don't screw it up, because if I don't, it'll sound stupid. Maybe I should have one of my nurses come up here and read it. Congenital insensitivity analgesia. You know what that means? James, what, you got that one? No? Anybody else have a guess? Never heard of it to this week myself. You're born with a disease where you can't feel pain, inside or outside your body. It's a real disease. People are born with it. Now, some of you probably be thinking, especially if you're sitting there with some aches and pains this morning, you're like, man, that'd be awesome. Guess who has the shortest life expectancy? People that have it. They walk around with broken bones all the time. They walk around with things that are hurting on the inside, but they don't know it. They're living in pain, but they don't know it. So they don't get anything done. When I was reading about this week, a girl broke her ankle. She walked around it for 3 days, and her mom looked down and said, why is your ankle sticking out of your foot? Now, how much does that disease impact the quality of life from somebody? How much does sin impact the quality of our relationship with God the Father today? It does impact it, and I think you would acknowledge that. But a desire to say, hey, I need to turn. I need to seek. I need to hear. I need to long. I need to love. It starts right here with me. It's personal. Remember I started out that little story about that God wasn't talking to all those ites that were surrounding the nation of Israel. It wasn't on them for the kingdom of God to grow. It was on the Israelites for the kingdom of God to grow. But it started with the ones who said, I will turn and I will repent. I will acknowledge my wicked ways. And you, God, will get to change my heart. And you will get to come and change the land. You get to change the way that we get to see your work. And I tell you that story about that disease is because, guys, I'm fearful. I'm fearful for myself some days. I don't want you to know that. I really am. I get fearful for myself. Because I think a lot of times we become callous to the sin in our life, especially those things that we call the little sins. Not the big ones. The little ones. How did you treat your spouse? How did you treat your kids? How did you treat your coworkers? How did you treat your employees? How did you treat that pain in the rear end checkout person at a store this week? That honest to goodness looked like that they had just eaten lemons. But how did you treat them? Boy, if it was just that easy, huh, church? If it was just easy, do you know what this is? This is flipping the switch and says, God, I need you to come and do something in me. Because I can't do it without you. So which one are you going to miss today? We'll miss your sin, or we'll miss you, God. Because think about this for a second. We talk about this a lot. I know this is very redundant. But if we were getting it, then the world we live in, I think, would be changing. Who's counting on you to get it today? Who's counting on it? You that doesn't know they're counting on you. I think so often about the people in my life that I just kind of take for granted. Yeah, they'll be there. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. And how much I could have enjoyed the relationship earlier if I hadn't waited till later to discover the possibilities. So look at that list. I'm going to read it to you again. God is ready for revival. God has a part in revival, and we have a part. God will work through repentance. He will, guarantee it. See that? His isn't conditional. You repent, I'm working. And what must change in your life to experience revival? What must change in our lives to experience revival? We're just going to have some time of reflection. Let's think about these things for a moment. Gary, you don't have to come up yet. Let's just stay quiet for a few moments. How is God asking you to respond to Him? How's your attitude been? You know, one way to discover what our attitude's been like? Think for a moment the words you used this week. Did they give life or did they take life? Think about your body language this week. Did it communicate that you were disgusted? Or did it communicate that you like being there? Let's just pray. I'm just going to talk to God a little bit for us. Prayer cards are there. If you need one, you can get up and go to the back. No one's going to know. They're just going to think you're going to the bathroom. You guys are too serious sometimes. God, I just want to talk to you a moment. I want to talk to you about me. God, I think too often I put you with lip service as first in my life, when the reality is this: you're somewhere down on the list, and you should be the list. There's not a list in heaven. It's either you or it's not you. And God, I think about my life and my heart. How often, God, I just think sometimes I have lied to myself about you being first. And God, I just pause and think about what it would mean to the people around me if you are really first. I think about the children in Savannah at this moment that are living in hell holes if I had you first. I think about the men and women that need to hear the good news. If I put you first, I would impact their lives. God, you not being first is idolatry. And you did start a list. You told Moses, there's only room for number one, and you're it. God, as I'm asking you to change us. God, I believe one of the things that God was saying through this scripture in Chronicles is this: you don't get to play church if you are the church. God, we claim we are the church. God, forgive us when the time came to be and we did something. And forgive us when the time came to do something and we thought we'd just be something. Father, I know that change isn't always pleasant. And I know it's not always exciting, but I know it's impactful. And, Lord, I pray this for us today. Church, I hope you hear this prayer for just a moment from my heart. Is that we will surrender to the changes that God is asking us to make personally. God values us individually. And I praise you for that today, Father. God, I pray that we won't act, talk, think, behave, and whatever else is on that list like we take you for granted. God, you choose to show up. You don't have to. You choose to. God, what has to move in us to be just like Jesus? I mean, just like Him. Not kind of, not sort of, not a maybe, not a what if, but just like Him. What are we so afraid of is going to happen if we become just like Jesus? People aren't going to like us. They already don't like us. They're going to reject us. People already reject us. But we cry out with a spirit that says, Abba, Father, we are accepted, we are loved, and we are whole because of whose we are. That we don't have to be bottom feeders in fear. God, if you could just make one thing plain to each of us today, just one, make it plain. Make it life-changing. And God, I'm going to pray very boldly for that. I'm not talking about a life change we see tomorrow. I'm looking at 11:47. I'm asking for it to see it at 11:48. Well, I don't know if I'm still praying or talking, but the altar is open. Gary, if you want to come on, buddy, maybe you may need to just proclaim something to God today. Maybe you need to write that on your card. Look at somebody, go get somebody and say, I just need you to know today I'm proclaiming God is making this change in my life. And it's going to be a permanent change. And I want to do the work and trust the grace. You got it. It just blows me away to know today you don't really need any of us, but you want each of us. Thank you. The altar is open. Guys and their wives will be up here to pray with you. You can bring your cards in your envelopes. What is your response to what God has been saying? Not what I've been saying. We worship you now, Father. We just worship you in spirit and in truth. The altar is open. You can bring your cards in your envelopes if you'd like to. Your cards, envelopes, still a time of prayer and intercession. I promise you, we really do pray over those cards, okay? All right? We really do. All right? It's helpful when we can read them. Okay, making them legible, but we do want to be praying with you. That's why we keep asking for them. I'm going to pray us out of here. All those announcements that Brother Stephen shared with us at the beginning, I remind you about them. Manning's 4th of July on the June the 30th. Preparedness on Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Georgetown office. It's about relationships. It's about relationships. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You sent your son so we could have a real relationship, so we could have real life, not the garbage that the world, the flesh, and the devil offers us. The kingdom will be temporary, power will be fleeting, but you're everlasting. May we praise you, may we honor you, may we engage what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, guys.